Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi everybody, I'm Stephen Jones from the Sunday Times. This is the third episode of our new podcast, The Ruck. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave your comments, which will be very, very welcome. And remember, we know where you live. First of all, making his first appearance on the Ruck is Steve James. Now, Steve is multi-talented. Not only did he do rugby quite well, he also does cricket quite well as well. England Test cricketer, prolific batsman. I don't know why everybody's laughing. I saw him play. Prolific batsman.
I was wondering what you're going to say about the rest of us.
outstanding journalist in cricket and rugby, and a most welcome addition to the staff at The Times. And on a serious note, Steve's book, The Art of Centuries, just one of the best sports books I've read for ages, all about the psychology and the technical side of making 100. If you buy the book and you haven't made 100 in 2 weeks, you can return it for a full refund.
That is very kind, Steve.
Steve, well,
it's great to be here.
Steve, you're very, very welcome. A world first for a podcast. We have tonight a member of the popular press with us. We've got Johnny Fordham in through a back entrance with a blanket over his head, and he's joined us.
Again, thank you very much.
On a serious note, Johnny's really put the Sun rugby on the map. If you read it and follow it, which you should, you find it's lively, there's great lines in it, and really gives the lie to the fact that Sun readers don't love rugby. Finally, Owen Slott. It seems only a week or two ago that we used to refer to Owen as the junior journalist. Remember that, Slotty?
Yeah, I preferred it that way, thank you.
In fact, it was only a week ago that we referred to him as that.
And you've not stopped referring to me as that.
No, I am. No, I know. Owen Slott, the rugby correspondent of The Times. It's a fantastic time to be involved in rugby. I feel very privileged at what we've seen lately in this tournament. Just going to go around the lads now and just to say what was your highlight of the last weekend. We'll start with Johnny and go along to Owen. Johnny, great weekend's rugby, great win for England, which is always good for your readers. What are your highlights, mate?
My first trip to the Principality Stadium for a game I thought was absolutely brilliant. Atmosphere was electric. That's, having covered football for most of my sports journalism career, that is the closest I've ever been to a rugby game, where it's like a football game, but with, you know, in a good way. It was tense. It was a real cauldron. You didn't have to have the roof closed. It didn't matter if the roof wasn't even there. I think it would have been the same. It's brilliant.
Owen, big memory.
Well, the standout moment on the pitch for me was the pass, as it sort of increasingly being sort of hailed as Owen Farrell's pass to set Elliot Daly free for that try. We'll probably talk about that a bit further maybe later on. But one thing that that sort of got slightly lost during the week, which I found really interesting, and told you a bit about a man that's only discussed, Eddie Jones, is on Thursday evening, after he'd finished his England duties preparing the England team, he got a car to Cardiff, where he appeared as guest speaker at Gethin Jenkins' testimonial dinner. He went there for nothing. The people organising the dinner offered to get his cab. He said, no, I'll sort it out, don't worry. And then he went back in the car afterwards. Apparently, he was absolutely outstanding with his speech and entertaining, and you won't be surprised that people laughed more than they did at Rob Howley. But that's not the point. The point is that he did this. He didn't tell anyone he was doing it. He could have got a little bit of PR out of it. People could have thought, oh, what a good sort he is. But he wasn't interested in that at all. He just did it. And I as a guy that is endlessly fascinating the public, I thought that was another little bit of light thrown on this man.
Steve?
Yeah, it's obviously difficult to look past the events of Cardiff, isn't it? I actually wasn't working there at the game on Saturday, and my wife had a ticket a long time ago, so I've been ribbing her about the fact that she was going and I wasn't. So on Friday, I was offered this ticket to go, but it was £95, and I thought, that's pretty steep. But eventually paid for it, and you know, all Saturday morning I was thinking, you know, can I really afford this £95 I've just paid? But having gone to the game, it was worth absolutely every penny. As Johnny said, tremendous occasion. So, you know, it was quite interesting to be, you know, in the stands rather than in the press box. And I probably had a lot better view than you lot did of the game.
Yeah, as Johnny said, great stadium, but crap press box. Are we allowed to say that?
You could always bet £95. The managing editor just he's just walked by with a thumbs up. So I think you can claim it on the expenses. Johnny, you're in the nature of your job is that you're closer to Eddie and you see Eddie more times than Eddie sees his wife, I would imagine, almost literally. Owen has just paid a big tribute to Eddie. Everyone wants to know, what's Eddie really like? What is Eddie Jones from your point of view?
He's such an interesting character, because when you see him like we do, he's the comedian at times, and also a lot of us have been privileged to have a one-on-one sit down when you spend an hour with him. And you know, I did mine a couple of weeks ago, and the first thing he did when he came in was start just talking to me about, oh, where do you live, what do you do, what about this, what about that. And I found that the best stuff was when I tried talking to him about rugby. He was kind of like, but he's really kind of, he really wants to know about people as a person. I think he's the same with the squad as well. He spends a lot of time getting to know everyone, and when I did Dylan Hartley's column, I remember him telling me one day this story. He said that he was just leaving the training pitch, and Eddie Jones came up to him and was like, Dylan, how you doing, mate? How's the new baby and everything? He was like, yeah, good. Looking forward to seeing my family this weekend. He's like, yeah, that's good. You know, make sure you keep in touch with them, all this kind of stuff. And what about the missus? Is she good? And he was like, yeah, all good. She's coming down on the weekend to the game. Should be great. And then he just turned to him and went, your stats were rubbish today. And walked off. And that's the kind of guy he is. So he does have that both sides to him. You think you're getting close to him in a way, and then suddenly I guess he just pushes you away and keeps that completely professional relationship with his players at the same time as well.
We'll just come back to Dylan in a minute with Owen, who wrote about him this morning. But Steve, let me put something to you. There's a lot of pre-match banter, as we know, goes on for the whole week. Now, this one started off with Jim Telfer in Scotland. Now, whatever you think about Jim, I thought he went over the top. He was insulting the English nation.
Yep.
He was making fun of people who were at Twickenham and paid good money, as if it was like the George Orwell thing where you know, that fascism story that it's changed. Now, Eddie, I thought now and again, was making fun of the Welsh nation as well. Have some of these guys gone too far?
Yeah, I think Jim Telfer probably did go too far. Eddie, I'm not too sure. I thought he was quite clever last week, Eddie, actually.
Yeah. You know,
all that fuss about the roof, he knew what he was doing there, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wanted people talking about the roof rather than how callow his back row was and whether he might play Itoje in the second row or in the back row. So, yeah, I think he's very good with us. I mean, an Eddie Jones press conference is always worth going to, because you're always going to get a line. Sometimes some of the stuff is a bit fanciful. And I think, you know, things might change when they start losing, because I'm sure they will lose the odd game now and again. You know, that stuff at the launch, you know, with the black eye and differing stories and stuff. You know, was you joking? But I mean, that sort of stuff, if you've just lost two or three games on the trot, you're not going to get away with that the way you did, I think.
At an Eddie Jones press conference, you have to check yourself from enjoying it too much and remember that you need to apply a filter, because about a quarter of what he says is just made up off the spot. It's absolute rubbish, and it's great rubbish, and we we repeat it sort of gleefully in the newspapers.
Yeah, they're 30% fitter and all that.
Yeah, so he'd been England coach for 2.5 weeks, and he said in that time England were 30% fitter.
Yeah, no, and nobody challenged him on that, did they?
We thought this guy's a genius, and about a week later, everyone's scratching his head. Oh, we weren't very clever, the sweet lads.
I mean,
were
he's,
we?
An engage, he's an engaging bloke. I mean, I speak to him about cricket probably more than I do about rugby, and he seems to enjoy that.
I think we've also got to remember about 99% of Eddie's stats are clearly made up, aren't they? Because he changes his mind from 1 week to the next.
Yeah, there was the Ireland week last year. He was telling us how much they kicked, and he changed it from 60% one day to 70% the next. And then someone checked their kicking percentage rate, and it was 46.
Okay, those are good highlights. I think mine would be, you know, we've been pilloried by the Southern Hemisphere for so long for being kicking and boring rugby, but the number of times that ball was kicked in attack was very, very low indeed. It was just relentless passing, a delightful denouement at the end with two lovely passes and the worst, I have to say, the worst angle of a defender I've ever seen by poor Alex Cuthbert, but just a joyous way to win the game. Didn't do it with a penalty, you know, rocking and rolling around the edges, did it with a glorious try, which I thought was fantastic. We should also say at this point that also on that day, conceivably an even better performance by England women's team. Saw that game and just some brilliant stuff. 60-point win against a team that was meant to be competitive. Thought Danielle Waterman, Lydia Thompson out wide just did some magnificent things. They didn't run it up through the pack, played great rugby, and I think it was a statement in World Cup year that the girls are coming for whoever's going to be favourites for that. So again, it's been a great tournament in the women's game. It's now on TV. There are packages to watch it. It's live if you want it to be, and England 2-for-2 and going like a bomb. Two games contrasting on the weekend, guys. Let's just talk about Ireland for a start, who put themselves back on the map. Steve, anything to persuade you that Ireland are not powerful contenders still for the title?
I'm sure they are, but I mean, the biggest story there was Italy, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. they were rubbish, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Ireland looked powerful. I mean, Ireland should have beaten Scotland on the first weekend, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
I mean, that last game is still shaping up to be the big one, isn't it? Ireland, England. Yeah, they look good. Stander's been outstanding for Munster all season, and he was outstanding again. But some of those tries towards the end, there were a few gimmies there.
It's horrible when you see a guy running over with three people in support. Johnny, what's what was that the equivalent of a 6-0 football match?
Probably more.
Yeah, more. And you know, do you sense the unease now that the Six Nations is going like a bomb, but it's like a Five Nations at the moment? Is that, do you sense the unease that you almost look away when Italy are playing now?
It's a good point about Five Nations. It's been Five Nations for what, 5+ years now, at least, hasn't it? Really, I think that Conor O'Shea's come in with the positivity and the great hope of him being there and bringing in Mike Catt as well and Brendan Venter, but whether or not they can actually make any kind of footway against the big sides, it's looking very, very doubtful. They just simply don't have the players, do they, there? The Italian teams quite simply aren't good enough.
They're already sort of showing that you can have a great coaching team, but if you haven't got the players, then the coaching team is largely irrelevant. That's how it seems to me. And you look at Connor's decision to go there. We're sitting in judgment on him after two games, which seems preposterous, but after two games, that's how it looks, isn't it? Was it a good move? Should he have stayed and done something else? I always already find myself asking that question.
I was amazed he went there. I thought at the time, he's got no chance, has he? I mean, and it has a good chance he could sully his reputation as a coach. And
well, you can see that the career ladder, the progress, how it should go. You know, go to Italy, do a pretty good job, and then you're in pole position for the Ireland job, which you would assume would be his ultimate.
But I mean, you look at that squad he's got. I mean, it's full of players from Treviso and Zebre. I mean, and
the thing is with Treviso and Zebre, I'm sure there are people on that field on Saturday who had not won a game this season, not been on the winning side.
The Italians disfigure the Pro 12. They disfigure the European Cup as well, don't they? I'm losing patience with them, to be honest.
What's the answer, Owen? I mean, people are losing patience, or they're losing faith, because Italy are nowhere near as good as they were in their first year in the tournament. Now, Georgia are coming up. There was an epic result on the weekend when Germany beat Romania, which is significant. Also, Spain beat Russia. Now, where is there for these guys to aspire?
We debated this a fair while, and I'm just very clear of the opinion that you have to embrace the second division, or whatever you want to call it. You have to offer them a step ladder into the top tier, and the fact that Italy at the moment just give no impression of being the sixth nation, then you have to offer someone else the opportunity. Now, how you do it, whether that's promotion relegation every season or over a period of time, that can be debated, but the fact is that by protecting Italy, it's protectionism at its worst in sport. Yeah. And they should just embrace the Georgia option and have a look at it.
Why can't they just have a playoff every year?
There's too many people who are in top jobs that are compromised. You've got John Fian, who's Six Nations Pro 12 Lions as well. Yeah. You've got Ian Ritchie, who's RFU, Lions, Six Nations. I mean, why do they all these people have to be across all these boards? Yes, they have some kind of involvement, but they shouldn't have the power that they do if they are the chief of a union as well. I think it's wrong that you have that, because then you're compromised, because you're always going to look after your main interests.
You're right. Cozy cabal, isn't it?
Completely agree, because, you know, it's difficult enough to have one of these jobs. When someone's got three, there's no way they can be any good at it, as the Lions management have proved.
Did you see, week before last, the chief executive of the Georgia Rugby Union had the temerity to suggest, he wasn't asking for promotion or anything, he had the temerity to suggest that occasionally there could be a regular game organised between Georgia or whoever's top of the B division, if you like, against the Sixth Nation. That was his suggestion. John Fian's response was, this might damage the integrity of the Six Nations.
Nonsense. Well, he's running scared, isn't he?
He's running scared. And if that's his attitude, the Six Nations hasn't got any integrity. What I want to do now, boys, is Italy, like it or not, are next up at Twickenham. Great chance, I would have thought, for Eddie to make changes in the England team. I just want to go along now and just tell me who you think. I don't think we think that there should be a second team played. Who does Eddie need to see, Steve? Who deserves a chance for England to start?
I think he needs to look at somebody else at fullback. I don't think Mike Brown's playing particularly well. I'd like to see Elliot Daly have a go at fullback. I think he's got everything. Maybe under the high ball might be a slight concern for him, but I'd definitely like to see Daly at fullback. And I also think it's time for Farrell at 10 and Teo at 12. I think they need to explore that option. I think Eddie, he is worried about, I mean, his back line is small, isn't it? And it has been all the time. And I think he does worry about that, and he could get found out with that. And I think it's time for Teo to have a start. He's looked good off the bench, hasn't he?
I can't disagree with that, Steve. Owen?
I can disagree a little.
Please do.
What about Ford Farrell, Teo? I mean, Ford Farrell have been the structure on which the whole of the England comeback in the last 15 months has been based. So why jettison that? And if Eddie wants a big ball carrier, someone to break it through the line.
Has it been based on that, or has it been based on Billy Vinopola getting over the gain line and having a good, solid set piece?
Well, put it all together, and England will have a really good team. But yeah. I just thought about it a lot. Why Teo has to be a 12 rather than 13? Actually, he came on 13 on Saturday.
And he has played 12 and 13. But, yeah.
Okay, Johnny, your people you'd like to see in the white jersey week on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. Teo to start. And I think if Jack Clifford's been given that chance against Wales, then why not Tamana Harrison, who's been playing fantastically?
Hang on, did Jack Clifford playing as well?
I gave him a 4 out of 10 in my
really?
Player ratings.
He was
pretty anonymous, wasn't he? Yeah, I think he took an early hit, and that pretty much rattled him, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, I'd like to see Jack play again. I know we're joking about him, and he didn't. He was anonymous, but he's got he brings something that England haven't got, which is real speed at in their back row. So that is something they should explore properly, rather than we've looked at him once and he's not good enough.
I'm being harsh there. I mean, he is a good player, but he was totally anonymous.
I thought he was a complete fish out of water. Yeah. Johnny, your other selections?
We were talking about it off air before we started, and I think Jamie
good,
George
good expression, off air. Sound like real broadcasters.
Down the pub.
Yeah. We were waiting
Jamie,
for you.
Jamie George surely has to start, does he not? If you look at that in terms of pure selection, he's a better all-round player than Dylan Hartley, but Dylan Hartley is head and shoulders the best captain of that team and leads them from Monday to Sunday.
So, strong views from Dylan Hartley's ghostwriter there. Slotty, you this morning you went big on Hartley. You want him to stay, but you feel he needs a game on Saturday for the Saints. Needs to get his fitness up. Obviously, you still back him.
Well, I agree what Johnny said. I think Jamie George is by some distance the best hooker in the country at the moment, but Eddie has built this team around Dylan. Dylan's led it fantastically. So let him find his fitness. Don't play Jamie George against Italy, because we know what he'll do. He'll be brilliant. So allow Dylan Hartley to play this week against Newcastle, next week against Italy. And at the end of that, you might have a proper fit captain who can contribute at the end of the Championship, which is when they need him.
The thing about Hartley is, and sound like I'm digging him out here, but he can't even get a game for Northampton at the moment. So even if he does go back to Northampton, he might end up on the bench again. And we know what happened the last time he was on the bench and came on.
My inclination is that they must give Tio a goal because he's been too good. It is a lot different starting the game than coming on when the game's opened up with 15 minutes to go. I also think I know that no one has got any obligation to wear a Lions hat. Eddie's made that clear. But I do think that people like George Ford and Johnny Sexton, the contenders for the Lions, they're not big guys, and Johnny Sexton became very breakable. I would like to see Owen at 10 for the Italy game with Theo, and Daly at fullback would be lovely. I also think that one place they don't have cover, and in fact they don't have a dominant figure, is tight head prop. I think Dan Cole is a fantastic durable figure, but he's not an attacking tight head. I think it's time for Kyle Sinclair. I'd love to see Kyle in there. I was talking to Nick Wood of Gloucester the other day, that played 400 times with Gloucester or whatever it is. He's very, very complimentary about Sinclair. I'd like to see him there. And I think every team should have a player from Battersea Ironsides in there because it diminishes all the public school element. So Kyle of the Ironsides for me. I think Eddie will be measured with who he changes. I think James Haskell must come back. But very interesting. The other thing is, though, do we think they'll get a proper test? And maybe they won't. Maybe they won't.
What have we made of Nathan Hughes so far at 8?
My opinion, I think that if he hadn't been following Billy, we'd think he was quite good.
Yeah, that's
but
the
when you're following Billy, he was just out of his skin. Not so good. But I thought he stuck to it really well.
He stuck to it well. He's proven something, that you can look like a superstar in the Premiership, and the step up is not simple.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's a massive step up. Yeah. I mean, I only asked that question because I've been slightly underwhelmed. But I think your point's a good one. I mean, Billy Reinhart has been so good, isn't he? And he's been so vital to England's game plan, as I was saying to Owen early, you know.
Johnny, one thing I will say is that the Ben Youngs Danny Kerr double act has been there for a long, long time, match after match after match. A key position, neither has let England down, but is it time to see some new scrum half talent in there somewhere?
Yeah, I agree with that. Eddie Jones keeps on bringing in Ben Spencer, doesn't he? The Sarries, the Sarries backup. So. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he goes.
Dan Robson, he likes Dan Robson as well.
I'm totally with Owen there. I think Dan Robson should be there. I think he's, again, if you're talking about a better all-round player, he's a better all-round player than Danny Kerr. But I think Eddie's kind of made a rod for his own back in the way that he's got someone like Danny Kerr, who's a big influencer on the squad in there. And he perhaps feels that guys like him, integral to the whole squad, not just the match day 23 and or the 15, whoever goes out to start. So I think he's kind of found himself in that little problem at the moment where he can't just take someone like him out with his experience and then bring in, say, Dan Robson or Ben Spencer.
I think you're totally right, and I think it's a weakness because they should be bringing in people, form players. I think Dan Robson's been playing tremendously.
And Joe Simpson as well.
Joe Simpson as well. But lads, the only Scot we've mentioned so far is Jim Telfer, and not a very...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kind like, but Scotland, Steve says they didn't, Ireland should have won, but they didn't. Scotland came home really well, lit a forest fire of expectation in Scotland. Not so good on Sunday, where they lost probably by quite convincingly against France. What were your views on that game?
It was another thunderous test match, wasn't it? And I mean, on that point as well, people talk about playing the Six Nations over 5 weeks, you know, five games in 5 weeks. Joking. I mean, and you see Wales, England, and then Scotland, France, and you think, well, it just can't happen, can it? I mean, there's no chance. Yeah, I mean, Scotland, they're a decent side now, aren't they? Wales have got to go up there next, so I think they'll struggle. You know, some individuals are putting themselves forward. Everyone's talking about Stuart Hogg. I think he's a brilliant attacker. I'm still not sure about him as a defender.
He was terrible in defence. Yeah, wasn't he? I mean, we talked about this last couple of weeks, right. and I've been a defender of his, but that Fiku try that he let through, I mean, that almost ends the argument, doesn't it?
Well, it very close to it. The week before, I said that I thought Rob Kearney was safer, or I can't remember what I said, safer than Stuart Hogg. Of course, all Scotland, all the from the Lowlands to the Highlands goes bonkers. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine Stuart, great player though he is, under the high ball in Australia, in New Zealand, and trying to stop someone on the burst?
And in fairness, I mean, Lee Halfpenny started to show some form as well.
Yes, he has. He has.
I'd have Hogg as my third choice lines forward at the moment. I think behind Kearney and Halfpenny.
Right,
that'll get them going.
That was Steve James who said that. Steve James with an M.
Halfpenny's not been all that, has he, recently?
He's getting better, isn't he?
He had
a good game on Saturday, didn't he?
His kicking, yeah, is absolutely fantastic. You can't fault that. But I don't think he's not a great attacking player at all.
I think that Halfpenny, Reece Webb, and Jonathan Davis are all coming back from injury, yeah. And I don't think they've recovered yet.
But even in Toulon, we were out in that game in Toulon.
Yeah, he struggled there. But I think that's what I'm saying. Since then, I think he's gradually getting nearer and nearer.
I have to say, Steve, I sort of tend towards Johnny. I don't think he's got that. If he's got to get that real acceleration back, but I mean, he is a fantastic kicker. But we've gone off the subject of Scotland again.
Sorry,
Owen, can you mention someone?
No, I just on the subject of the Alliance fullback. I think I'm now Liam Williams.
Okay,
when does he have a bad game? He doesn't. He's better from fullback than wing, I think. And all the contenders we just talked about are all about 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10. He's about 8 out of 10 every week at the moment.
Okay.
Sorry, we want to talk about Scotland.
Yeah, no, just
he doesn't pass. Liam Williams is like Mike Brown, never passes. You ever seen Liam Williams pass the ball? Never passes.
Isn't that because he can break a tackle?
But you can't break every tackle, can you? Anyway.
Well, we're not achieving much of a consensus here. Johnny, did you see anything in Scotland, France, or were you still working?
No, I was watching it whilst working, and I very much enjoyed the Finn Russell conversion as well. That was another point that we've got to talk about. Yeah. I mean, so it later transpired that he was told to take it quickly because they were worried about a TMO decision. And obviously, if you take the kick, they can't then go to the TMO. That's it. Try. But not only did he rush it, but it just fell off the tee just before he kicked it. It was an absolute shocker when you watch it.
But he could pick it up and drop it.
Yeah.
Yes,
and kick a drop goal. I don't know if anyone's seen. There's a great bit of footage that sort of did a lot of YouTube's mileage of a Roslyn Park game. And this Roslyn Park player, so someone from the stand took it, and the ball came off the tee. They were all running at him, and this guy, just cool as anything, picked off the ground and did a drop goal from about 45 yards right from the side of the pitch. It's brilliant.
It can be done. Do you know what, when I started I did Roslyn Park 5 times in my first season, first game. Thought you'd like to know that. It was a long time ago. Finn Russell kick, the stories have grown and grown, but there is now a tape in which someone, a voice says, take it, and we assumed it was the referee with his clock on, but it wasn't. Apparently it was Nathan Hines
who came
saying take it. Well, blimey, you know, you could say two points doesn't matter. 2 points always matters. It changes the course of the game.
Thanks, coach.
Scotland slightly overpowered up front. I mean, it's got to be a good thing that France are coming stronger. They'll challenge Ireland, obviously. That pack is finally moving, as well as beasting people. Pickham all, I thought, was superb.
Again.
Fiku, Lopez, I never rated, came good.
Yeah.
Scotland, France, both teams improving. Scotland improving. Are France improving quickly enough to worry Ireland, Owen?
Yes, I think they are. They haven't strung it together quite. They've had a good game against England, which probably boosted their confidence, albeit in defeat, and they were better against Scotland, have the win, have more evidence of what they're trying to do. So in terms of finding their rhythm, they're an improving team.
Okay, Scotland, France, Scotland, Wales. Johnny, do you think Scotland... they're desperate for a win at home to Wales now, or the revival's in doubt. Do you think they can do it?
I think after that Wales performance in Cardiff, you can see they are a team with fight. They're clearly playing for Howley, it seems. I think there was doubts in the autumn whether or not, because it's a confused situation with the whole Gatland scenario, and is Gatland pulling the strings like a puppeteer from far away? But I think this is starting to become Howley's team, and I think that Wales will be just edge that one.
OK, guys, we're now going to move on to do something we do every week, and that is we're going to discuss our team of the weekend from the three games. And what's going to happen is Owen Slot, the most magisterial writer and technocrat of rugby, is going to name his team. In the unlikely event we disagree with any of them, we will apologise and chip in. Slotty,
reputation in tatters.
Do you want to start with the fullback?
I just start with the rules in which I've picked this team. You could go for an All Ireland 15, but because Italy was so powder puff weak, I've given myself a rule of only one Ireland player.
Right,
I totally agree with that, actually. Yeah. Obviously Stander.
Stander was walking through Lilliputians. I mean, what's the point of picking him? He didn't get a proper game. But anyway, that's a while to go to number six. Number 15, Scott Spedding, I'm starting with. We discussed fullbacks. I think most of the others are on about 6 out of 10. He's a Rolls-Royce, played 2 good games. He's very solid in the back and he's made some lovely breaks. So he's my 15. Everyone agrees.
Halfpenny.
A halfpenny for Steve.
Yeah, I'll go with Spedding. I'll let you have that.
Scott Spedding, I've never rated, and I don't like project players, but he has found something. I don't know about Rolls Royce, because there's just something under the front of his shorts, I think. under the front
not
of his shorts.
Not on this podcast, there is.
No, there is. I think he's a bit overweight, but I mean
he was brilliant against England.
He's gone for it. So Scott Spedding on the vote gets the job. The descending voice, Steve, goes for Lee Halfpenny. Okay, move on to your wings, Owen.
Okay, two wings. First, I think it's easy. You have to put Elliot Daly in there just for the pure class he was throughout the game. My other wing is my Irishman, Zeebo. I thought he was very good. He was smart and clever, and he started off what they were doing. His footwork was very good. He's a player that is sort of Lions question. I'd give him a Lions tick now.
Okay, no, Zeebo. No. Johnny, your wings.
What about Gilroy? 3 hat-trick, 13 minutes, still can't get in your team?
No, Italy had lain down by that stage. Right. What's the point?
What about Liam Williams had a good... I mean, he's a left wing, isn't he?
Brilliant try.
Where you could play him on the...
Yeah, Liam Williams I thought was excellent as well. Yeah.
So far Owen's left out 2 people with a grand total of 6 tries between them in the same game. Just shows how difficult it is to get into this team.
Yes, yeah, very hard.
I think Daly definitely. Gilroy, not bad at all. Zeebo, one of my Irish colleagues, says whenever he gets the ball, there's almost bound to be a try, but then you've got to work out which end the try is going to be. So didn't rate him as highly as some.
I've always liked Keith Urs, actually.
Okay.
I think he's a good player.
No, I think he's a good player. I just thought Zeebo was quality.
I don't think he is a good player.
Who, Keith Urs?
No. Okay, I've seen him on the Lions tour where he struggled. Mind you,
but he was only about 12 on that tour, though, wasn't
9 he was.
Okay,
centres.
At 12, for the pass almost alone, but he was quality all the way through. Owen Farrell at 12. And embracing the world of finishers who could be starters, my 13 is Ben Teo.
Okay, Johnny? Any
Teo gets in a game. Teo?
Teo gets in at 13. Okay. He came on, second week running, he changed the game.
Okay, Johnny, knock down that ludicrous argument.
I thought looking over in Paris, I thought Fiku had a good game.
Yeah.
I thought he deserves a shout, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or is this because you're putting your...
He would be on the bench.
On the bench. Putting all your money on Farrell.
Steve, centres?
Yeah, Fiku definitely at 13. Yeah, totally agree with Farrell. I actually thought the Welsh centres had decent games. Jonathan Davis had a shock at the end, didn't he? But I thought, as you said, there were signs he was coming back to good form.
Sure.
And Scott Williams had a good game at 12, I thought.
I think Scott Williams, another guy who's been up for a long time, is coming back too. But Owen Farrell is some player now. I just think he typifies the self-belief of the team. He really is some rugby player. Gael Fico, it's so nice to have a bloke that would be come under the heading of French flair in the old days. I know it's a meaningless expression. So lovely to see him out there playing so well. So, Slotty, not going too badly.
Thanks.
You've got one right so far.
Appreciate your support. Okay, so I'm quite confident I might make more friends with my halfbacks.
Okay.
I'm going all Wales, Rhys Webb and Dan Biggar. Both very high quality. Webb, Lions starter now. But I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah, Steve?
No, totally agree with that, actually. For once. Well done, Slotty.
Right. To Johnny, must have a dissenting voice. Dissenting voice.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. It pains me to say Biggar as well, because I don't think he's all that. And I think George Ford's a much better player. but on the day, yeah, he just edged it. And Rhys Webb had... Yeah, he was all over Ben Yarn.
They're sort of polar opposites of players, Biggar and Ford, aren't they? And
yeah.
Ford's the player you want to love, but Biggar on Saturday, you just couldn't help but fall for.
This falls to me to agree. We've got actually agreement across the board there. I think Biggar, the way that he gets stick from the Welsh public is disgraceful. Mm. I think he's been off form a little bit. Thought he had a great World Cup. I think he is, as Ian McGeachin says, a test match animal. I just think he may not have all the gifts, but my God, he gets it done. And I don't think that interception he made was any fluke. I think he read the play. I just think he's absolutely tremendous. He'd definitely go with the Lions. I don't know if he'll play test, definitely go with the Lions. Rhys Webb has got improving too, but he's a good player.
Wales attacked much better, didn't they? I mean, they got quick ball and Biggar shed a few people up there think Wales attacked. Everybody said he couldn't attack and stood too deep, but I thought their attack was really good.
And the people, as usual in Wales, we want the flair by. They want this Sam Davis, or he's the guy to set us off. Mm. God bless the guy, but he plays for the Ospreys, who didn't even qualify for Europe. So come on, let's apply proper standards. Owen, we're now on to the front row,
and I'm carrying the crowd with me at this stage.
Yeah,
I'm confident I'll have you still. So across the front row, I've got Joe Marler at 1. My hooker, again, back to the bench, Jamie George. And my tight head is the Frenchman, Antonio, who Well, the French pack's been, the front French front row has been good both weeks, and they demolished Scotland. So you have to have a Frenchman in there, and he was the tight head, so I'll go with him.
Any argument, Johnny?
No, I actually agree with that as well. I thought Mahler carried really well. That's obviously he's had that the broken leg or fractured leg, whatever you want to call it. That milk seems to have paid off, drinking all that milk, because I thought he carried well, he tackled well. Jamie George came on and was like a little pocket rocket. And Antonio, again, for his... How long did he last this time? 50-odd minutes or what have you? He made an impact. He really did hit the line.
Okay, I'm going with Girardo. I like it, love him as a hooker and leader, but thought Kian Healy, considering his age and injuries, did well, but no real argument. Owen, Antonio, if he could ever get fit and last a bit, is some player. Steve, front row?
Agree with the props. Ken Owens had his best game for Wales at hooker, I thought.
That was good.
So
yes, he was.
I think he might stick him.
Just not big enough for me. I've
almost had that reservation with football. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was outstanding on Saturday.
Okay, we're now going on to the second row. We're very, very competitive, Owen. Yeah. Make sure you don't get this one wrong.
No, I've got it all right from here, actually. So I might just do the whole team. But anyway, second row, Jake Ball I have in ahead of Alan Wynn. I thought Ball was ball carrying. He's never done anything like that before that I've seen. Yeah. Outstanding. And then the man of the match was Joe Launchbury. So those are my locks. Should we just move on to the Barrow? Because everyone will agree with that one.
Of course. Well, just in case anyone disagrees, Johnny, second row.
I mean, Alan Wynn Jones did have another huge performance, but he did drop the ball right on the try line. If he'd caught that and passed it or gone over himself, that could have changed the game.
True. Although if Ben Youngs had been any further offside when he dropped it, he should have worn a red jersey. But go carry on. Yeah. So your two are Johnny.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Then I think Ball, like you said, Ball did have a brilliant performance with the carries and everything. So
okay, no Grays in the team, no French. Steve, second rows.
Yeah, agree with Launchbury and agree that was Jake Ball's best game for Wales, just like Ken Owens. But I'd probably still go with Alan Wynn because I thought he was such an influence, especially in the first half in the contacts. And Johnny Gray, was it Johnny or Richie? Johnny was pretty impressive in Paris.
I thought I wouldn't leave Laws out because we waited for a long time for him to get that.
He played blindside though.
Animal stuff. Yeah, okay, but I mean, he had the jersey on. He had the number jersey on.
You can't pick him in the second row. He's number six.
I can't if I want to. I'm the compare. Okay. Launchbury had his best game. I'm not being his biggest fan. Jake Balls came from nowhere and must be in contention for the Lions. Real old grafter. Yeah. Oh, Slotty, back row, you just hanging on desperately.
No, I'm
now.
Not. You'll like my back row because at six I have Laws, which is where he actually played.
Right, okay.
Laws at six.
So that's one player out of position. Carry on.
One player in position. All right. Nitpicking.
I want to pick another player out of position.
Okay, go on, seven, the Frenchman Kevin Gourdon. I'm not sure I pronounced that right, but
maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And the eight, Ross Moriarty, who surely no disagreement on them.
Steve, back row.
Well, I got my standard at six. And
Powder Puff Italy doesn't count.
Warburton has to play because Warburton was man of the match in Cardiff. And he is a seven, and he'd be the Lions seven. So, and I only consider him a seven, so I'm picking him a seven.
Bold.
Moriarty, agree with that.
Bold words there from Steve, Johnny
Moriarty. Yeah, absolute shoo-in.
Yeah.
I think I'm surprised, just as everyone else probably in the stadium. Steve, don't know what the reaction was when he came off.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone around you in the prawn sandwich brigade.
No, but there was word beforehand that he was going to go off at half time, and that was the plan. So,
okay.
I mean, what you don't know is that they might have said to Moriarty, "You're only playing a half or 50
empty
minutes."
Empty the tank.
So he might not have had much left anyway. And all I'd say is Falatel is not a bad bloke to be bringing. They didn't bring some sort of Muppet on from Swansea FC, did they? I mean, it's Toby Falatel.
I agree. I think that's been a hard debate, or rather harsh comment, that was a mistake of a substitution. Falatel, you bring on, not so bad.
Yeah, exactly.
When a guy's playing that well.
Yeah, but as I say, you don't know what the conversation was, and you don't know what's at stake. I mean, he's never played like that before, has he? I mean, I think he's a good player. and I think it'd be in Wales' side at six.
Ideally, would you not have put Faletau on Kep Moriarty and maybe taken
Tipperary?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And my team, can I pick yet another player at a position? If I had, I'd probably put Paul Mariachi on the blind side, where I think he'll end up. Sam Warburton.
Paul or Ross?
Sorry, Ross. Paul
played in that Rosslyn Park game of yours.
He can still do it for Wales, no doubt. And Richard in the second row. Sorry, Ross Moriarty. Sam Warburton, nothing was more nailed on than Warburton will have a fantastic Six Nations. One of those guys that get stick in Wales. I'd have Warburton. Number eight, I'm sticking with Pickenmole. Blimey, I thought he had a tremendous game, and he's lasting longer and longer. Owen, well done. I think you got about three right? Four right? Really good, honestly.
Thanks.
And J-Mo,
I thought you did very well.
J-Mo obviously wasn't paying attention up in the corporate boxes either. Just to finish off now, in the Six Nations in Alliance, your team waxes and wanes and changes every week. Johnny, where did your Lions team in your head change this week?
Second row, I guess you could probably pick about 20 second rows at the moment, but Joe Launchbury, I think, really put his hand up. We weren't seriously talking about him as a Lions contender before the Six Nations, I don't think, because you got Itoje, Gray, Wyn Jones, all these kind of people, Cruz, who's injured. So it looked like there was no space for him. But if he can keep that up, he might even make himself undroppable for England for the long-term future. You never know. George Cruz is a big injury to come back from. Mauro Itoje, where's his long-term future for England? Is it in the back row like we're seeing at the moment?
Interesting. I think we'll all agree with that. Owen, where did your Lions team change?
Stuart Hogg, probably not in. Reece Webb, possibly in as a starter now, certainly the number two nine and challenging Conor Murray. At the start of the Six Nations, I don't think I had Sam Warburton even on the bench, but I think my back row would...
You silly would, man.
You live and learn. I'm a junior journalist. So on my flank, so CJ Stander, yes, and I'd have Sam Warburton at seven now.
Steve, where did your Lions team change?
Elliot Daly, absolute definite for the Lions now. He'd be such an asset, played so many positions. And I also think he'll be the type of player who really grows in that environment. Ian McGeachan always goes on about that. There's certain players who go on a Lions tour and they really grow into that environment. I can see Daly being a test Lion, and it could easily be outside centre, wing or even fullback. That's how good he is and how versatile he is.
Agreed. I just can bring up the name of Mauro Itoje, as Johnny did. No one is accusing Mauro of being a bad player or not anything but a fantastic player, but he does need to find his niche now. It's not a place for sort of athletes and gymnasts in New Zealand. You've got to be rock hard, which again he is, but he's going to have to, there is no pressure on him as a blindside flanker from Stander, from Moriarty, from all sorts of other people, and he's going to have to settle down and let's say cement his position. I don't say he's left it yet, but for the first time ever, I don't think Mauro is a certainty to go with the Lions, however heretical that sounds. So, ooh. I think we've been through everything.
Not to start or not to go?
Not to go.
But the fact that he can play those two positions, surely that gives him a better chance, doesn't it?
These days...
Elliot Daly, we're just talking... Steve talking about Daly there.
Yes, he was. But, I mean, in the old days, they always used to take a utility player, and it never worked. I think these days you've got to take specialists.
Do you think that the experiment, playing him at six is actually detrimental to his Lions chances? Because he hasn't played at lock for England since the summer.
No, he hasn't. And look, it's not that easy from six to change positions like that, whether we noticed he had or not. But the thing is, I'm sorry, I'm a massive Laws fan, and having been on an interminable number of tours, the nasty edge that Laws has is very, very attractive. And I know that Eddie fancies Laws as a blindside as well. So, you know, I'm not saying, lads, don't sit, retain your seats, don't jump up. I'm not saying he's off the tour, but he's got to fight like everybody else has on tour.
I think he'll be there.
Okay. All right.
Absolute shoo.
Okay. Okay, so some of the boys who've never been on these long tours and now are giving over the experienced men. Right, do you know what? First time I went to New Zealand, it was shut. On a Sunday, there was nothing up, there was nothing open on a Sunday. Yeah, when I went back last time, it was the same. Lads, thanks a million. That we gave it all a good chewing through there. We'll be back next week, everybody. Don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes now and leave a review of what we said, anything you agree or disagree with. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Johnny Fordham. May well be back again in several years. Owen Slot and Steve James. Thanks a million, guys.